go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our second block in a very important interview with Colonel Dr. Lawrence Sellin. He is a veteran of 29 years of service in the United States Army Reserves and veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq, the author of Restoring the Republic, Arguments for a Second American Revolution. Dr. Sellin, I wanted to visit with you a little bit more about this question you sort of alluded to in passing, and it's one that I find almost inexplicable, and that is that there is inevitably a day of reckoning coming between Communist China and Russia, and presumably that will be during the presidency for life of Vladimir Putin, and yet Putin is actively aiding and abetting, I would argue actually enabling, much of the danger that will be posed to his country by the Chinese in the future in terms of military capabilities and power projection and the seeming acquiescence to, if not support for, the expansion of Chinese influence in regions including Siberia, for heaven's sakes, an important part of Russia. Talk us through what is going on there and what you make of his thinking, as best it can be discerned.
Well, that's a very important observation, Frank, because I think we need to look beyond what is happening with the United States and Afghanistan. Essentially, as I see it, our policy is becoming obsolete. Because, as you say, I mean, if we take the United States out of the picture in South Asia, what remains? Well, the competition between the different players in the region is going to continue. The instability is going to continue because Afghanistan is not by itself the only unstable nation in the region. Pakistan is even more unstable.
With nuclear weapons, no less.
With nuclear weapons. And so Afghanistan is swimming in a sea of instability. So even if the United States, leaves the region, leaves Afghanistan, you're still going to have, as you say, quite correctly, a Russian-Chinese competition, but the Chinese are going to compete with the Indians. The Pakistanis are still going to be antagonistic towards India. There's going to be the inherent animosity between Shia Iran and Sunni Pakistan. And also you have the Saudis who are involved who are on, to the west of Iran who have become increasingly involved in the region. So all these animosities and competitions will continue far beyond if the United States leaves. So I think we should be looking, forward and developing a policy that suits the future, not the past. And as you pointed out, there's going to be the reckoning between Russia and China. And I don't know if Putin is looking far beyond the revenge of what happened during the Soviet time, but that's certainly going to happen eventually if the United States leaves the region.
I think it's going to happen whether we're in part of the region or not, simply because of the age-old animosities and how they've expressed themselves over the centuries between the Russians and the Chinese. India is a fascinating potential exception to all of this rule, isn't it? There is a fair amount of stability in it. It has been robustly hostile to the Chinese, while the Chinese have been trying to isolate it and intimidate it, including with threats of renewed border wars. Successive U.S. governments have been, to varying degrees, trying to establish a close strategic relationship with the Indians for the purposes of containing China, among other things. At the same time, Dr. Sellin, I'm reminded that the Indians are very aggressively persecuting Christians in various parts of the country, by some accounts determined to eliminate them altogether. I don't know if that's possible, but it's not a happy prospect. So where do you see India in all of this? Is it a reliable strategic ally? Is it a nation that is still attached in ways that are troubling to us, or should be, to Russia? And how about this domestic behavior? Is it something we should turn a blind eye to or factor into our relationship as it continues to unfold?
Well, I think human rights are always a factor in any relationship that we develop. But of course, it depends on whether there are other more important overriding factors. So it should be considered, of course, but strategically, I think we have no other option, or it's an option for us for the future, let's say, that we should have closer relationship with India, because it is probably the only remaining major nation in the region that can work with the United States in terms of resisting the ambitions of China in South Asia and in the Indian Oceans.
Well, needless to say, this is a full employment program for you, and we look forward to further conversations with you about this really important part of the world that, as I say, I think is still largely misunderstood and inadequately attended to by most of us in the foreign policy business. And in terms of the security implications of it, it's something that should be of interest to Americans more generally. We appreciate your insights into it. I did want to ask you one other question, Dr. Sellin, before we let you go. One of the people that Donald Trump has designated for a senior position in his reshuffled administration leadership, specifically in the national security space, is a longtime CIA officer by the name of Gina Haspel. And I'm interested in your take on her and her history, as best we can discern it. She was in the clandestine services side of the house, so not all of it is publicly known. But she'll be up for confirmation hearings, I reckon, pretty soon. And one of the people who has endorsed her, whom I must say I have a very low regard for, and therefore must say is concerning as a character witness, is John Brennan, President Obama's Homeland Security Advisor and then his Director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Give us your read on Gina Haspel and in particular, what we should make of the Brennan connection there.
Well, I only know what's in the news about Gina Haspel, but what really struck me, like it struck you, is that she was endorsed by John Brennan. And I think John Brennan has done more damage to the Central Intelligence Agency than any director in history. You're familiar with his reorganization of the CIA, which in my mind was a politicalization of the CIA. So the fact that she rose in the CIA, you know, during John Brennan's tenure and during the Obama administration really gives me pause.
Yeah. Well, her defenders point to her role in the extraordinary rendition program and some of the intensive measures that were undertaken to extract information from some of the people who were in that system, that is to say, early in the post-9/11 period, people who were part of this jihadist threat to us. I'm not quite clear what her role exactly was in all of that. I'm told it was less operational than administrative, and therefore perhaps less of a credit to her if you think this was an important program. But one of the things that is troubling that you just sort of alluded to is that she apparently spent about 3 years working for John Brennan on his so-called modernization of the clandestine programs, the espionage elements of the Central Intelligence Agency, which, as you say, I think, were ultimately about politicizing the whole institution, but specifically largely emasculating those important elements of our Central Intelligence Agency's capabilities. Your thoughts?
I think as far as Gina Haspel is concerned, her defenders are saying that she was one step removed from this enhanced interrogation program. Well, if she's one step removed, then also on the other side, you can't say she's a great credit to her as well. So, you know, I think that becomes a neutral argument. And in my mind, if that's the case, her association with John Brennan and what John Brennan has done to the Central Intelligence Agency is not to her credit.
Yeah, it's very worrying indeed. We have to leave it at that. Dr. Lawrence Sellin, United States Army Reserves Colonel. I appreciate your insights into all of these topics and look forward to continuing this conversation, because if anything, there's going to be a lot more to cover in the parts of the world that you are particularly expert in. We thank you for your service to our country and that you're continuing to render. Come back to us again soon, if you would, sir. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks
from the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.